Leadership Part 2, because God is doing change in our midst. God is working wonderfully to us. He's speaking to us, as we said last week. He is speaking to us as the body of Christ, as a church. He's calling us all. We are BCC Platoon. Amen? We are BCC Platoon for the Lord. We are the Lord's platoon. We are making a difference in this world because of Christ in us, because God has brought us together for a time such as this. Amen? Praise the Lord. I'm excited. Are you excited about what God is doing in our midst? Yes. Amen. Praise the Lord. God has a purpose and a plan for each and every one of us. No one sitting in this house of the Lord today is without a purpose, is without a call of God on their life. Every one of us. Not everyone is called to be a preacher. Not everyone is called to be a musician. Not everyone is called to sing, as we said last week. But everyone is called to be a part of the body of Christ, to be a contributor, a builder of the body of Christ. Amen. We are all needed. We all need each other. Amen. Praise the Lord. Bless God. So this week, we're going to look at Leadership Part 2. Last week, we read from Nehemiah chapter 8. And I just want to go back to that to go into today what we're continuing on today. In Nehemiah chapter number 8, as it says here, that all the people, the men, the women, everyone who was able to understand, had the ability of understanding. Does everyone in here have the ability to understand? Yes, we do. Everyone. Because we have the Spirit of God in us. We have the Word of God in us. We have the presence of God. And wherever God is present, wherever His Word is, God is able to bring understanding to us. Amen? And so it says, Ezra, the priest, he brought the book of the law before the assembly of men and all who could listen with understanding. And it says, and he read it to them. Remember, he said, from early morning until midday in the presence of men, women, and all those who could understand. And the people, it says, were, what did we say last week? What does it say here? And the people were attentive. Verse 3, and the people were attentive to the book of the law. And now I want to look at verse 4. And Ezra the scribe stood at a wooden podium which they had made for the purpose, and beside him stood, and you have a whole list of men. I don't have to read their names. There's several of them there. That while he was reading, see, God never raises up lone rangers. God never raises up one man to do everything. God raises up men. He raises up women, but he surrounds them and brings alongside of them. Moses had Aaron and Hur and others. God always brings men around whoever he raises up for a purpose, because God doesn't want things just laying on one man. It's a work. We're a platoon. It's a team. God is a team leader. He is a team leader. And so here at BCC Platoon, it's not just about Pastor Al, it's about every one of us gathered here. We are BCC Platoon, we are a body of Christ, we are a team pulling together, joining together. And what did these men, they were by his side as he was reading the word of the Lord. They were, and the Bible says here, they were somewhere on his right hand and there's somewhere on his left hand. So he was surrounded with men, priests, godly men. These weren't just men that walked in somewhere from off the street. These were men that are known, proven, tried and true, that the people knew, that Ezra knew, that Ezra trusted, that God knew and set aside for a purpose. And so God sets alongside of the man of God, the one who is called for a work, he sets others alongside of him to help build the work, to help build the people, to help grow the people. God cares about every individual. Remember where God says that after they heard the reading of the word, they were to go and have a feast. But they were to look to see if anyone was in need, anyone didn't have any something to eat, that they were to then, before they ate, to go get those who didn't have something and make sure that they were included. Make sure that they had something good. Not just a couple scraps or crumbs, but to sit down at the table with us and eat what we're eating. So God wants us all to come around the table of the Word of God, that we can all eat richly. Amen? Amen. And so, and then it says in verse 5, and Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, and he stood, and then verse 6, and Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered in verse 6, Amen, Amen, while lifting up their hands. Hallelujah. Can you just lift up your hands for 1 second and just say Amen. Amen. Lift your hands and say Amen. The Bible says here that as Ezra was reading the Lord, the people lifted up their hands. Why do we lift up our hands in church? Why? Because the Word of God, it gives us examples that if we love the Lord, if we're hungry, we're saying, oh, this is an expression of thanks, an expression of praise. It's like saying, Lord, I love you. You're above me. I love you. And so they lifted up their hands and they said, Amen, Amen. And so that's why when you hear the Word of God being preached or taught, it's okay to say Amen. I've been in places where you were not allowed to say Amen. You were not allowed to make a peep while something was going on. That's not scriptural. That's not found in the Word of God. Whenever, wherever the Word of God is preached, you look through the Bible, read the Word of God, and wherever the Word of is preached, there's worse responses. People responded by hearing Ezra raising their hands and shouting Amen and Amen and Amen. When you look at the book of Revelation, there are people are raising their hands, they're shouting and they're worshiping the Lord. Wherever you go, there's a response to the Word of God. So don't hold back. If you feel like saying Amen while you hear me preaching up here and you want to say Amen, you go ahead and say Amen. Practice. Say Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Bless the Lord. So we're not constraining you. We're not tying your tongue. We're not tongue tires here. I'm not going to nail your tongue shut. I'm not going to get crazy glue and put it on your mouth and say, be quiet while I'm speaking. No. While the Word of God comes forth, feel free to say, praise the Lord. Amen. Yes. Preach it, brother. Whatever you want to say. It's the Word of God. You're responding not to me. You're responding to the Word of the Lord. And when we respond, when we say Amen, we're saying Amen to God. We're saying Amen to the living Word of God, who is Jesus. So don't be hesitant. Forget your religious bondage. Forget those religious chains that say, don't raise your hands. Listen to the Word of God, the Spirit of God, that says, lift your hands freely. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed and say, Amen. Amen. We don't do it because someone tells us to do it. We do it because it's a natural expression to say, Amen. Praise the Lord. I love you, Jesus. And so Ezra, way back then, the people answered Amen with the lifting up of their hands. And they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. You see, they shouted praises, Amen to the Lord. And the Lord of God, it activates in their spirit, in their inner man. And what happens? That word that activates in them. After they raised their hands and said, Amen. Lord, I am not ashamed of you. I love you. I love your word. I'm attentive to your word. I'm hungry for your word. I thank you that you're speaking your word to me. Thank God we have a God who is willing to speak to us, to give us his word. Hallelujah. And as a response to his speaking to us, we need to say, Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for bringing your word to my heart. And that word that burned in them caused them to bow down and reverence him and worship him. And so you see, the Word of God, as we see, when you give attention with your all that you are to the Word of God, it is important to give attention to the Word of God. Attentiveness and reverence to the Word of God. It creates something in you that only the Word of God can do. It creates a response of Amen and praise the Lord, and it creates a reverence. It creates a holy reverence that causes you to even bow and worship the Lord. And so here in verse 6, they worship the Lord. And now there's a second group of people in verse number 7. Ezra was reading and explaining and praying. Now the first group of people were sitting by Ezra's right and left hand. There is another group of men. These men are different. These are not the same men that were on his right and left. And Ezra, and in verse 7, and it gives you a list of all these men, and down at the bottom of that verse, and it says, and the Levites, these were all Levites. These were priests. These were men who were learned in the Word of God, in the Scriptures. They knew God. Again, these are proven, tested men who spent their lives living in the Spirit of God, in the Word of God, knowing the Word of God. These weren't just men that were picked by looks or whatever. These were men who were proven to be faithful to the Lord and to love His Word. And so these men, they were Levites. They caused the people to understand the law, and the people stood in their place. You see, Ezra was preaching the Word of God. He was reading from the Word of God. But then he had men, he had leaders who loved the Lord and loved the people of God. They knew that the Word of God was not just for them, that they were to take the Word of God. These were leaders to take the Word of God and then to go amongst the people and help explain the Word of God so that they can have understanding, to break it down. And and there wasn't just one man. These were a bunch of men because the crowd was great. And so they broke it down. It was broken down, and that's what God wants us to do. God wants men and women together in the body of Christ to be able to break down the Word of God, to teach others, to build others. Why do we have Sunday school, children's church? We're taking the Word of God and breaking it down so that we can get understanding of the Word of God. To get understanding doesn't mean we're stupid or dumb. It means that we just need understanding and we desire understanding. Our brains are made to understand things. We learn things about computers. We learn things about how to operate cars, how to operate machinery. We have to come to an understanding. To come to an understanding doesn't mean we're lacking of anything. We need to get an understanding. And so God wants us to come to an understanding of His Word. And so God uses men and women as vessels of the Lord to break down the Word of God and to bring it forth. That's why the Word of God tells us to forsake not the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, to encourage one another, to build each other up to while it is still day. And so, you see, God wants us to come together. And as we come together, God raises up men and women who are proven, tested, tried, who are learned in the Word, not to flash a diploma in someone's face, but to say, let me help you. Let me break down the Word of God so that we can understand together the words of the Lord. And so they stood, and the people stood in their place. The people didn't say, well, I got something else to do. The people stood and said, yes, I want understanding in the Word of God. And so they read in verse 8. And so they read in the law, in the book of the law distinctly, and gave the sense, again, giving the understanding, and caused them to understand the reading. Ezra read, and then the men says, they broke it down. All right, you understand what Ezra was reading. Listen, here's the gist of it. And so they were breaking it down. And so that's what we are as BCC Platoon. Hey, Pastor Al, preach the Word. Now speak among yourselves. Talk among yourselves. And don't give opinions. We don't give opinions. We give the Word of God. We break it down. I remember one thing that really set me aback before I was even involved in ministry. I was fairly newly saved, and I was sitting in a Sunday school class, and one of the elders, a very respected man in the congregation, young man, and he was teaching Sunday school, and he was teaching about the tabernacle, and he was saying, he got up and he says, well, he was reading from the Word of God, and he said, but I believe, and a gentleman interrupted him in the back, an elderly gentleman, and he says, brother, his name is Joe, he said, brother Joe, he says, excuse me, and I say this with all reverence, I don't want to know what you believe, I want to know what the Word of God says. And at first I was like, oh man, what is this guy, how rude, how out of order he is. And he didn't say it sarcastically, he said it respectfully, and he didn't say it to create a problem. He said, Brother Joe, excuse me, he said, but Reverend, I say this reverently, I don't really care what you personally believe, I want to know what the Word of God teaches. And so Joe was taken aback for a minute, and I was like, oh man, you want me to throw this guy out, you know? But then I said, well, wait a minute, you know, that's the way I was. I would be protective of the man of God. And anyone try to rise up and speak against him, I was new in the Lord, but I was like, you know, I'll throw this guy out if you want me to. But then I says, wait a minute, you know, hello, Dean, he's right. And then Brother Joe says, yes, he said, you're right. He said, you're right. He says, we've got to go by what the Word of God says. He says, and I take that back. And so what startled me at first really, really, really followed me after that. That we need to give people what the Word of God says. We need to break it down. We can't be given our opinions or what we think or believe. We need to study the Word of God and break it down and give according to what the Word of God says. And so that's what these people were doing here. They were taking what Ezra was reading from the Word of God and they were breaking it down to give understanding. They weren't given multiple opinions about something. They weren't saying, well, Ezra said this, but, you know, I really believe this. You know, they were breaking the Word of God down in one accord. And that's why the Bible says we need to be workmen rightly dividing the Word of God, the Word of truth. Amen? And so, we need to take time to know the Word of God, to set ourselves in prayer and in study of the Word. We need to sit under those who know the Word of God, who spent time learning the Word of God rightly and properly, and listen, because even the Bereans, when they heard them speaking, they went home to see, they searched the Scriptures to see if that was so. And so we're not just hearers of the Word, but we're studiers of the Word. We want to know, what is the Word of the Lord? What is the Word of the Lord? Because it is our life. The Word of God is our life. There's nothing else beside the Word. I mean, one bottom line, there's nothing greater than the living Word of God. And so we want to know it like they did here. And again, Ezra had leaders, men and women, proven to go and help the people to understand. Bible says that's why Jesus raises up apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, teachers. He breaks down to the body as we did the motivational gifts. There's gifts given to build up the body, to help us come to understanding of each other. So when we can see each other's needs, one's a teacher, one's a preacher, one's a servant, one's a this, one's a giver, one's what. So we all have things to build up the body of Christ, to understanding. So God always supplies abundantly. God always supplies. God just didn't give one. God, when there's a multitude of people, remember Moses? God raised up Jethro and he raised up all, he broke him down into groups of 50s and 100s. Because God cares about people. And he broke him down and says, okay, I want so many leaders in each group to help each group, to help each platoon, to help each platoon grow. To come to an understanding. BCC platoon, we want to grow and know the Word of God, don't we? We want, and I know you do. We want to grow, and God is raising up in our midst those who will help to break down the Word of God so we all come to a hunger and a thirst and an understanding. It's not just about one, it's about multiplicity of more of leaderships, of those who love the Lord, who prove themselves faithful, lovers of God, lovers of His Word. And so God, when He calls leadership, see, when we're talking here about leadership, everyone will be part and parcel of the work here, but not everyone is going to be a leader. But everyone must know about leadership. Because when we don't know about leadership, we can get leaders that are, and it's not going to happen here, but in churches, there are leaders who shouldn't be leaders, who are damaging the people of God, who are hindering and holding back the people of God. And so not everyone will be a leader, but everyone must recognize a good leader and recognize what leadership is all about. And many of us will be called into leadership by the Lord. Others will be called to be workers. But we are all workers and leaders together in one platoon serving a living God, and we all are needed and necessary. Not everyone can be the preacher. Not everyone can be, if we had 10 preachers up here, and what would we do? I mean, everyone in here says, I'm called to be a preacher, and we all got up here on Sunday morning, who would be listening to us? Huh? If we all says that I'm all called to be musicians, that we're all up here on Sunday morning as musicians, who would be out here to praise and worship the Lord? So some are called to certain things. And so together we make up a glorious praise and worship body of Christ. Together we all communicate. Together we all pull together for the glory of God. And we usher in, God ushers in His presence through us all. And see, when God picks leaders, when God chooses leaders, He looks for volunteers. I was drafted in 68. I wasn't a volunteer. I was drafted. They said, you come. I had no choice. I had to go. But we have today a volunteer army. But God's army, God's kingdom was always filled with volunteers. God always called. Many are called, few are chosen. How many respond to the call of God? So many are called, but few are chosen. But the Word of God says God chose leaders, volunteers who make themselves, who say like Abraham, here am I, Lord God. Here am I, available, willing to your service, whatever it is you have me to do. And sometimes we think that God calls out people that are just hanging around with nothing to do. Oh, Lord, I don't know what to do today with my time. You think you can call me to be a leader, you know, whatever. And God never, in God's Word, you never see God calling someone who is idle with nothing to do. God always calls. You'd be hard-pressed to find anyone in the Word of God who was doing nothing. God always called someone who was active, busy. How many of you know this life keeps us busy? Our families keep us busy. The situation, our jobs keep us busy. Everything in the world keeps us busy. But God calls busy people to His service, to His call. He doesn't call you to give up necessarily your job or your family, but He calls you to put His service number one. And so the busyness and the busyness of our life, Moses and David were busy shepherding the flock. Now that's work. Shepherding the flock is not just sitting out there on a field with a guitar, you know, looking at the stars, how wonderful. It's work. Being a shepherd is work. You have to have a heart of caring and understanding. You have to lead the sheep to drink, to water. You have to look over their hurts and their wounds. It's, believe me, shepherding is work, work, work. And people think that, oh, to be a pastor or to be a head of some is so wonderful and easy. Yeah, right. That's not the way God has made it to do. And if it is easy, and they're not doing their work, they're not doing what's called to do. Because you're called to pray. You're called to seek the face of God. You're called to break down the Word of God, to feed and nourish the flock, to be there when you're in need, to whatever. And so it is work. Moses and David were busy shepherding their flocks. God called them. Daniel and Nehemiah were busy in government. They were busy in their offices. You think Daniel had a busy office there. You know, and he had a lot of work to do, but God called him. Isaiah was a tutor to kings, and he was called. Ezekiel was busy in being a priest, and God called him. The disciples, when you look at the disciples, they were out there fishing, and Peter had a business. He was fishing, and God called him, and he dropped what he was doing and says, okay, Lord, you know, and he went to follow the Lord. So these were men that were not just hanging around with nothing to do, scratching their heads, say, gee, what could we do, guys, you know? And so the Lord called them, busy men, busy women. He called them. Lydia was a rich woman. She was a woman who had a lot of affairs to take care of, but Lydia was called, and she became a great woman of the Lord. Many women were called, busy women. How many of you know women? How many of you know that women are busy most of the time? All the time? Not most, all the time, right? Whether you're raising a family or working a business, working a job, whatever, there's busy, busy, busy. But God calls busy women, God calls busy men to say, will you put me first? Will you come and love me above all things? Will you come and look to my word above all things? Will you take my word to your heart above all things? And so the disciples followed Jesus as he called them. In Luke chapter 19, verse number 13, so he called 10 of his servants, delivered to them 10 minas, and said to them, occupy, do business till I come. See, Jesus calls people to himself, busy people, and then he imparts into them, and he says, now occupy, now do business until I come. Now do business. That means get busy. It doesn't mean, okay, I'm just going to sit here and pray until Jesus comes because Jesus loves me and I'm going to pray. I've had people that did that. That says, oh, I'm just going to pray and fast and just have to wait until the Lord comes for me. And that's not what Jesus says. Jesus says, come to me. I've got a work for you. Jesus says, I have a work. I have a work for you. I have a work. Hello. I have a work for you. Occupy. Do business until I come. So Jesus calls us to work for him, not for an hour or a day. Jesus says, until I come. When is he coming? We don't know. So we got to work. In other words, we got to be about Father's business until he comes. Now, does it mean we give up taking care of our families? Absolutely not. The Bible says if any man give up his family, he's less worse than an infidel if he cares not about his family. Does it mean that you got to quit your job? I'm called of God. I got to quit my job and just pray and let God lead me. No, you got to be still work. But at the same time, your priority has to be the work of the Lord. God's work has to come above your work when necessary, when needed. And so we don't give up our families. We don't give up our jobs. We don't become airheads. We become Christ-minded. Amen? We don't become foolish people. I had so much sorrow for this one woman who said, oh, I'm just going to quit my job and sit home and believe God and live by faith, and I'll have money in my mailbox and I'll have food dropped off at my door. And she did that, and she was starving and she was broke, and we had to minister to her. Honey, this is not what faith is. This is not faith. Faith is you got to get out and do your best and then have faith that God will bless. As you do, as you put your hands to plow, to work, God will, you have faith, God will bless that and prosper that. Faith is not foolishness of giving up and saying, well, God loves me, he'll bless me, I have to do nothing. No, we need to work. We need to take care of our families. We need to mow the grass. I can't just sit in my house and say, by faith, I'll close my eyes, go to bed, and when I wake up, I know God will send his angels to mow the lawn. Have any of you ever done that? Did it work? No. No. Now, if I'm, you know, somewhere, there's times to believe God. But God wants us to get it. We have to do what we can do. And by faith, God will bless us and will provide for us. But we've got to put our hand. We go to work believing, God, I believe you. As I do my best on this job, you're going to give me promotion. You're going to give me blessing. You're going to give me increase. You're going to give me raises. You're going to give me favor. And so you work the best you can. You take care of your family the best you can. You love your wife. You love your husband. You love your children the best way possible. And God will come in and bless as you pour out your love, as you pour out your caring for each other. God will come in and bless. And so God calls people who are busy to put his work above all things, not to give things up, but to say, how can I give my gifting and my talents? What is it that you do? And ask yourself, what is it that you love to do? Well, that's, again, unveiling and unwrapping the gifting in you. And then say, how can I utilize this for the glory of God above what I do in my job? Now, many of you I know, so a lot of people that I've talked to over the years, they're working jobs that they're not happy with. Oh, I really wish I would be able to do this. Well, what is it that you really wish you would be able to do? And then look to the house of God and say, how can I do what I really would love to do for the glory of God? You want to serve God? What is it? Not what you're doing in job now, unless you really love it. If it's something you really love to do, that's good. But if you're working a job that you say, man, you know, I just got to do this, but I would really love, if you look deep into your recesses of your heart, what is it you really love to do? What are your giftings? What are your talents? What is it you would really love to do? And then say, Lord, this is my joy. This is from you. Because who gave that to you? The Lord. What is it you really have? What are your gifts? What are your talents naturally, inwardly? And then say, Lord, how can I use this for your glory? Let me go talk to Pastor Al and say, Pastor Al, these are my heart's desires. These are my giftings and talents. How can these be utilized for the glory of God? And that's when God says, come. And God will make that which is in you excellent and bring it out. And everything takes time. And I think we're going to just do 5 more minutes here, and then we're going to end. You see, all these men that God called, they all came to God because they loved the Lord, they loved the Word of God, and they loved people. God never calls anyone, well, other than maybe Jonah. But didn't God rebuke Jonah? Jonah was saying, Lord, they're all sinners. Just, fry them, cook them, send lightning bolts. And God says, no, Jonah, what's the matter with you? He said, and what happened? Nineveh repented, every one of them, right? But see, God had to correct Jonah's heart, because Jonah loved the Lord, but he didn't love the Lord's people. Now, the Lord looked at people who were living in sin and wickedness, and God says, no, Jonah, we just can't fry these people. I love them. I want to save them. I want to redeem them. I want them to become my children. So Jonah, shut your mouth. Don't be talking bad about them. And so God wants to have people that love Him. And if we love Him, God gives us a heart for people. We can't say we love God and hate our neighbor. We cannot do that. God will chastise us and correct us. Because God, we can't say, Lord, I love you, but, send an earthquake to swallow up my neighbor. God will say, hello. No, you've got to love your neighbor. God wouldn't slap you on the head. Maybe He would, I don't know. But God wants us to have a heart for Him and for people. And so God raises up leadership that, again, has a heart for people. Anyone who's in leadership that does not love and have compassion and care for the good of the people. Not to brutalize them or to beat them into submission, but to lead them in the ways of the Lord gently with love and with caring and with compassion. A leader doesn't say, oh, do whatever you want to do. God loves you. No. God loves you, but God needs to lead you in the ways of His Word. That's why leaders break down the Word of God. Do you understand what the Word of God is saying? What the Word of God is saying, how we need to live and how we need to do it. And we need to lead the people to see the Word of God and make choices that will be blessings in their lives, not to brutalize. God wants leadership that cares and is compassionate about Him. We're going to end right here today. Time is gone, but we're going to continue with this next week. But again, not everyone may be a leader, but we all must understand leadership. Leadership is of God, and we have to have a leader has to have a love for God, a love for His Word, a love to be filled and with the Holy Spirit, and to have a love for the people. And God calls busy people. How many of you are busy? How many of you are busy? Hello, God's phone is ringing. Hello? God calls busy people to serve Him, to serve His people. God never takes an idle man or woman doing nothing. Because those who are busy for a reason. You want to provide for your family. There's some kind of motivation. So God wants to rechannel that energy for His glory. And say, you're busy about Mary, Martha. You're busy about many things, but Mary has chosen the best part, the Word of God. And so, again, God wants us to understand leadership. To understand leadership. Understanding leadership is understanding God's heart. Understanding God's heart. God loves. Give attention to His Word. Over the last 2 weeks we've heard, give attention to the Word of God with all your heart. God will provide for you. God will bring you understanding. God will lead you in the right way. He's a good shepherd. He's a great shepherd. And not only will God lead you, God will provide for you. Giving attention to God's word means God gives attention to you, to your needs, and to your provision. So I challenge you in love. Be attentive to the word of God. Yearn and long for understanding the word of God. Come to Sunday school where it's broken down so that we can understand. We don't want it just to have numbers in Sunday school. We want people to understand the word of God, giving attention to God's word, which brings blessing, which brings strength, which brings healing into our lives and upon us. Amen. We're changing, BCC. We're changing. We're coming into that divine order, to that place where God is above all things. And together, as a team, BCC platoon, we're going on to glory in Christ. Amen. We're lifting each other up. Amen. We've got a song to sing here at BCC. We've got a God to worship. We have a Lord to know and understand. Amen. We have a people here to care about. Amen. Every one of us is worth and valuable and important. Amen. Stand with me this morning.